This week's Seder is Parshas Va'era. And a large part of what I'm going to speak to you is about Shmos, but it has to do with Va'era. Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of the children of Israel. And then it gives you the names of the 12 Shvatim, the 12 sons of Yaakov, who were in Egypt with Yaakov, Mitzrayim, and a lot of other names. You even get the names of the Miyaldos, Shifra and Pua. But I never thought of it before as profoundly as I did now, that in Ela Shmos, in the first parsha of Ela Shmos, what is most intriguing are the names that are not given. And even some of the names that are given, we don't know what these names represent and what they signify. The Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael, the Torah tells us all the people who came to the tribe. They tell us the shame of Yaldos, who is the world. Shifra and Pua. But then they suddenly tell you, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach bas Levi. Doesn't mention it all. Amram, you have to go to Va'era, that's what the parsha of Va'era is. And suddenly they give you the whole genealogy, beginning with the first Shvatim. And they come and they said to you, it says, Vayikach, that Amram took Yocheved Dodasso. He took Yocheved his head. So suddenly we have to wait. All the names are given. Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael. Why are those names left out? That's one question. The second question is, we're told Shifra and Pua. If I ask you, who is Shifra and Pua? What would you say to me? Somebody must know here who Shifra and Pua is. What's a common understanding of Shifra and Pua? It means Yocheved and Miriam, right? Maybe I'm wrong. However, Kamachokis, between a Meir and a Yehuda. One says that Shifra and Pua is Yocheved and Miriam, and one says that Shifra and Pua is Yocheved and Elisheva, who was the daughter of Aminadav, the sister of Nachshon, and Aaron married her. So it was either Yocheved and her daughter Miriam, or Yocheved and her sister-in-law, Elisheva. And then there's a Yalkut in Yoshua that tells us that who were Pua and Shifra, who were Shifra and Pua? Shifra and Pua, two Yaros. So we don't even know who Shifra and Pua are suddenly. And their names are given. Then suddenly, the most important name. What is the most important name mentioned in Shmos? We never hear of it before. What's the most important name? Who? Moshe. So Moshe is a name. Who gave him the name Moshe? Bas Paro. Didn't his mother and father give him a name? They did, according to the Machlokes in Rav and Shmuel. One says that his name is Vatera Kitovu. She saw that he is Tov, that his name is Tov. And the other one says, no, it's Tuvia. It's Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael, we don't know which name. And these are the names that the Jewish father and mother gave her. That Amram and Yocheved gave this young man, boy. And his name is Moshe. And we take the name of Bas Paro, and in fact it was an Egyptian name. It's not the name that we have it, but according to Moshe, it wasn't even the name of Moshe, but it was an Egyptian name that means Moshe. Ki mishisu minamayim. Because they took him out of the water. So Moshe and mishisu come from the same shoresh. When I was a little boy, about 10 years old, 11 years old, my father had a friend he saved. I don't want to go with one of the most tragic figures that I ever met, maybe he was the most tragic figure. He was a great doctor. He was one of the first Jewish doctors who was a member of a voting faculty of a major medical school. And then later, he was the first director of the, and if you, those of you, how many people come from Canada, from Montreal? Raise your hands. Do you ever hear of the Montreal Jewish Hospital? That's the big, he was the first director of the Montreal Hospital. And he came with the understanding that he would be director of the Montreal Hospital. They brought him. In 1935, the Bronfmans brought him in at 35 or 36. And he would also be full professor of medicine at McGill University. And when he came there, McGill refused to take him in after they made a commitment to him. Because the members of the medical faculty, principally three Germans, and they were anti-Semitic, and he said they were Nazis, and they refused to take him, and he had a nervous breakdown. He was institutionalized, and my father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, took him out. I'm not going into the whole story here. So he had a little house there, my father's shul in the Bronx, which belonged to his father. His father died. His father was the one who came to my father and said, I have a son, he's a genius. He was on the faculty, he was in a voting faculty before he came to him in Western Reserve in the 30s. And before that, he started at the University of Colorado. He was a great pathologist. And then suddenly he was institutionalized. My father went to him, and Baruch Hashem, he got him out. And he became my father's best friend. He did anything my father said. He even took me to my wedding, and my car broke down at that time. And I never drove my car before. I just got it because I was getting married. And the snow broke down. We had to leave him with the car and get a taxi. I'll never forget it. So, and I have the newspaper, I'm telling you, the Daily News of 1941, they discovered that these three doctors were Nazi spies. And they were the head of the department in McGill University. Three of them. The three he said they were Nazis. And everybody thought he's crazy. And that's why he institutionalized it. He was berserk. It's a terrible story. So he used to have this little room in a hotel about 37th Street or 39th Street in Manhattan. And my father told him, if you want to hear a good darshan, a real Eli, a goyim, you should go to the base Medrash HaGadol in the east side. And they had a great gadol there, but he was, you know, he was different, to use a word. And his name was Rabbi Fleischer. I don't know how many people ever heard of Rabbi Fleischer. In Bialystok and Shul. He had a brother-in-law who was also one of the Gdol Levitsky Ilui, Safsal, was his brother-in-law. Rabbi, and in the base of Medrash HaGadol, he wrote many books. He was another Gdol Mode. And he had great problems with, and I don't want to tell you who his president was. The president tried for 30 years to get rid of him, and he used to get up and say, a president is going to tell a rabbi what to do. And you know, right in the He was no respecter, right? If you know him, if you know his history, that's who he was. So my father used to tell him, go to him, you'll enjoy him. You'll get some. See, once he comes back, I'm 10 years old. And he tells me, I heard the greatest drusha of my life. I went to Rabbi Fleischer. It was one of the times he came back. He used to sometimes say in the Bronx, something. I heard the greatest drusha of my life. And he said, the drusha was, and I never understood because it's a simple drusha, that Bas Paro called the Moshe, so we knew, and they accepted that name because she proved to be in the Viyor. They understood right away that she would have given him a name, and she didn't have any Nevuah, she would have said Mishisu was his name. When she said Moshe, he's a continuous Moshe unto Yisrael, one who will draw them away, even as he drew them across the Red Sea. So therefore, they knew that. That's the name they have to give him. Not the name of Tov, not the name of Tuvia. And I want to tell you, Reb Moshe David Tendler, Shlita, one of our great Rosh Yeshivas, see, he has a grandson. He has a son, Dr. Yaakov Tendler, the big Talmud Chacham too. And he was, of course, Reb Moshe's grandson, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And Reb Moshe Feinstein loved him more than anybody else, this Yaakov Tendler. He said, I used to be on the phone with him and said that important with Reb Moshe and this, and we did the different thing because. So Reb Moshe died, and then Yaakov Tendler had a child. So I know one child he called him Tuvia. because he wanted to name it after Rav Moshe. He couldn't name it after Rav Moshe because Rabbi Tendler's name is Rav Moshe too. So he named him Tuvia. I think he had a second child. I think he named him Avigdor. Because that's another name of Moshe. And that way he was able to commemorate Moshe's name. So Tuvia was Moshe's name. Moshe had seven names. But that's not the name we know him by. We know him by the name of Moshe. So the whole Elish Mos B'nai Yisrael is really clouded in mystery. Why don't they tell you who his father and mother are? You have to go to Be'era. Give all the names here. And why do we have such doubts about Pua and Shifra and Shifra Pua? And why do we have the, and what about Moshe Rabbeinu? All these things. So that's a very big question. So I said, Elish Mos B'nai Yisrael, and what I'm going to tell you now is a feeling, not a chidush. Like a feeling to have about it. A great American, and maybe I ought not to say it here, but a great American artist passed away past Thursday. And they had his obituary in the New York Times. I don't buy the Times, I saw it on the internet because I wouldn't pay a penny for the Times. But not even a twopence, a half a pence. So he, and had this long biography, because the man who died was Andrew Wyeth, who was arguably the greatest artist of the last 40 years. He died, he was 91 years old. I remember his father's name, N.C. Wyeth. He was the greatest illustrator, and he was the Rebbe of this Andrew Wyeth. And I remember him yet. And his great-great-great-great-grandfather came to America in 1665. His name was Nicholas Wyeth. I remember him, too. So he writes about you, Wyeth. Does anybody know, did anybody ever hear of Andrew Wyeth in the Tzeis Medrash? Baruch Hashem. So Andrew Wyeth, he was known for his very bleak and barren thing. He would show you a tree. And the tree, you could look at the tree, it was always without leaves, the tree. It's isolated all by itself in the field. And you see it was blown, it must have been a hurricane came before it. And that's the kind of pictures he showed. His most famous picture, where he had a little more life to it, was called Christina. Today it must be worth 50, I don't know if today what the market went down, but before the market went down, it was worth $50, $100 million. Christina. Christina showed you this big tree, beaten by the weather beaten. And there's a woman looking at the tree. The only problem is, you don't see her face, you only see her back. He made about 10 pictures, the same picture. And the woman is always posed a little differently, but you never see her. So no one knows how she looks and what it is. Everybody had imagination. Who is this? Well, how does she look? Because it was the most important picture. So I'm going to read to you something from this obituary. He liked the ideas that figures might be implicit in the image. Not that you see it, it's implicit. He suggested that Christina's world might have been better had he, quote, painted just that field. And have you sensed Christina without her being there? Occasionally, as when he painted Christina head on, he turned her face into a kind of landscape, the weathered features being a topography. So it occurred to me, this is Elish Mos B'nei Yisrael. So Elish Mos doesn't mean only the names. What is just as important as the names are the names that are not given. What's only implicit. And there's so much implicit in the fact it says, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi, and they don't give you the name Amram, and they don't give you the name Yocheved, and you have to come to Parshas Be'era. Why not? Who were Amram and Yocheved? In a way, Amram and Yocheved produced the three most important Jews, arguably. So Moshe was the most important Jew. And Aaron was the equal of Moshe. And Miriam, the three. What kind of parents are these? And they had no YU to even treat them, to train them. And they became Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So Gemara tells us first about the Gemara in Shabbos and in Hay. It's a famous Gemara. Tell us that Amram is one of four people that died be'et Yosha Nachash. He died be'et Yosha Nachash. Meaning, because the Nachash came to the world, he brought Lisa to the world, so it had to be Lisa. But they didn't die. So the Gemara report says that there is no such thing. Ain't Sadi words of Sheyatov La Yechto, and they brought Raya. You cannot die without a sin. A man dies only because he's a Kosheya. He's a Chote. That's what the Gemara says. And then suddenly the Gemara has to come and say there were four exceptions. These exceptions are very important. They were not really major figures in the sense. Yeah, Amram is a major figure. He brought three great children to the world. But he's not as big as Moshe, not as big as Aaron, not as big as Miriam. And the first one who was who had no sin, who died without sin, was Binyamin Atzad. And he wasn't as big as Yosef. Yosef Atzad, he was a secondary figure to Yosef. The third one was Yishai. Yishai was the leader of the Jewish people before David came in many ways. But he wasn't David HaMelech. One of them, he was the first Mashiach in a sense. And out of him, of course, will come Mashiach ben David. And the second, the third, fourth one is Kilab, the son of David. And Gemara tells us that he used to learn, that David used to learn the Chavrusa with Kilab. Kilab was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He learned from Kilab and didn't have any sins. It's very important, these four people. Even if you only had one of them, was important. Because it's so important, I want you to know the difference between L'Avdil Elef Alfa Alofim Adolus, between Christianity and Judaism, is in this. Christianity believes in a concept, I'm not teaching here, is called original sin. They said it's impossible for a man not to have a sin. Every man is born with sin. And Yadav says it's not so. But if we say that a man doesn't die except that he's a Peshet, everybody died, we don't have anybody who's still alive, except for Yaakov Avinu, I'd like Yaakov Lomais. But that's a different kind of Lomais. But you had four people that we say didn't have any sin. But for those four people, that's the difference. If we could have one person out of the billions of people who inhabited the world since the beginning, who died without a sin, who lived without a sin, that proves the point. There is no sin. So those four people are so fundamental. I've never thought of it before that way, and I haven't read it anyway, but that's really a tremendous difference. So that was Amram. Who was Yocheved? We said, "Bishus Dush and Tzidkonios Nigal Avzenu." If it weren't for the great Tzidkonios of Mitzrayim, but the great Tzidkonios was Yocheved. She said, "So here she has a son, Moshe. She sees he's very special. There's a light that shines in his when he was born. That's what they call him Tov. They find that he's born Mohul. To them, it was a great Simon. They knew he was very special." And suddenly he's brought up in the house of Paro. He's brought up as the prince of the realm. They don't know what's going to happen to him. And later it says, Vayigdal Moshe, and Moshe became great. First of all, Vayigdal Hayelad, he became physically, he became a gadol. And then Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze, and he went among to see what's happening in Egypt, and he saw an Ish. Mitzri Baki Shivri Me Echo. So look at the Ibn Ezra. He says, Me Echo. Who were his brothers? What does it say? We know he an Egyptian struck a Hebrew. Why do you have to add a Me Echo? We know who it is. That he comes from Hebrew stock. He says, Moshe, when he left the palace of Pharaoh, this is what Ibn Ezra says. He thought that his brothers were the Egyptians. He was raised with them. He was a prince. And when they came to, when he suddenly saw that an Egyptian hits a Jew, he remembered that the Ivri is Be'echa. That's the way you read it.
So there's such a, here he was living in two worlds, collision, worlds colliding. Oh, Egypt, Mitzrayim? And we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, who becomes the greatest Jew in history, the greatest man in history. The only man who is a demigod, in a sense, half and half. So they were worried. They didn't know. They didn't want to go where. They didn't want to be attached to a man who become a mitzvah, become a goy. They didn't know what he's going to happen. It's only later when he returns to Midian, and he went away for 24 years. Can you imagine? He leaves the house of Pharaoh. He runs away, and he goes into Africa. And they don't know what it is, because they didn't know how to, they weren't computer literate at that time. They couldn't get any messages, emails. They didn't know what happened to Moshe. For 40 years, they don't know. He married the bishop's daughter, no less. He didn't mal one of his children, made a deal. One child I won't mal, and the other child I will mal. I mean, that's in Shmos, in the end of Shmos. And Hashem wanted to kill him at that time, you see. We don't understand the whole thing. He picks him, he argues with him, you have to leave the Jewish people. We don't understand what's happening. So they didn't want to have any attachment to him. It's only after he takes on the obligation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accused him, and he starts on the road from the Shia to Israel, in Ve'era, in Parshas Ve'era, it suddenly says in Parshas Ve'era, that it was Vayikach Amram. That's the reason. I don't want to tell you. Without naming names, in the last 25, 28 years, the three biggest swindlers in the world, in America, we only represent 2% of the population. That time was 3%, maybe now 1.5%, but 1%, I don't know. We're all Jews. I remember the first one, without mentioning his name, he came to the Beis Medrash. He was not a religious, he was a conservative Jew. And he was thinking, and we were there, I went with Rabbi Dobrinsky. This is about 30 years ago, 32 years ago, I don't remember when it was exactly. And he was so impressed with it, he walked into the Beis Medrash. And it wasn't as impressive as the Beis Medrash is today. But he said, he was very well dressed, and very well known, he goes. And he said, I'm going to have to do something to the yeshiva. We were so happy. 2 weeks later, he was indicted. Then there was a second guy. This is in 1988. He was the biggest. He started a new kind of scenario for all of Wall Street. He was indicted. He went to jail. He had two people in jail. And he's given a lot of money to Jewish causes since he's got out of jail. He gave money before too. I don't know what's going to happen now. I don't want to say. But this seems to be the biggest of them that ever was. So see, can't there be one guy in the group? So she was afraid. But when a Jew goes the wrong way, we don't know where he's going to end up. Moshe was in the house of Pharaoh. So therefore, it took a long time. It took until Parshas Ve'era. Now, I have at least three more parts in this Russia. But it's 5 minutes. I'll leave it off. And Mir Tashem, you come to my office, I'll tell you the rest. Okay. I have